Well, you are listening to Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Always great to chat with Stephen Black, and it is even better when we have the opportunity to chat face-to-face here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We are in Nashville at the Gaylord Opryland Faith Radio Meeting House Media Central, and Stephen is the head of First Stone Ministries and also someone that is very influential in the God's Voice Conference, which is coming up in your hometown.
That's right.
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
There you go. And another stellar speaker lineup. We're going to be talking about that as well, because it's called God's Voice, and it is really designed to a large extent as a counter to a movement. It's hard to know exactly how prevalent the movement itself is, the Revoice Conference. There have been two of them. I assume there's going to be another one sometime this year. But what is especially concerning within the church, and if people listen to the Meeting House, they have heard me address this on numerous occasions, but you have not only those that embrace this Revoice philosophy, but those that sympathize with this whole notion, and bottom line, that people that are struggling with same-sex attraction or homosexuality, they can't change. And so they identify as SSA Christians or gay Christians, and they identify with the sin rather than the Savior. Is that an accurate portrayal?
That's a very accurate description, in that you have people, unfortunately, they are identifying with the war in the internal thought processes and feelings and lusts of their heart, and not allowing the work of the Lord to come in good therapy, counseling, unpacking their trauma and history. And so then they throw their hands up, and of course, most of the time we find out that these are people that are addicted to pornography, and they are addicted to bad behavior with themselves and their sexuality. And so they're just not being completely honest with what's going on internally. I've been doing pastoral care now for 30 years and helping men overcome homosexuality and overcoming sexual addiction, pornography addiction. And I know what it takes to see these men get free. And you have to be really gut honest consistently on the inside. And unfortunately, that's why we have this erosion with the APA narrative, which is the American Psychological Association, orientation gospel. And so they bring that, and then they marry it with antinomianism, which is hypergrace. And they come out on the other side of it with no fear of God, no necessary repentance of the internal world of thinking. And so they truncate the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very sound words of Jesus, which at the God's Voice Conference, that's going to be my opening message. It's going to be about what are the sound words of Jesus that conform us to godliness, and bringing us all out of our places of brokenness in this good news.
Well, we will hear those that embrace this, and we can call it the Revoice philosophy. And probably before we go any further, let me just take a little detour here for those that may not be familiar with the Revoice Conference. And again, I think you've had just a few hundred people attend both of the conferences as they've been held the last 2 years, but you've got a whole movement within Christendom, within Christianity, Christian leadership, that are embracing similar philosophy. So if we had to say the Revoice philosophy, the Revoice view, perspective, what would that be as you see it?
It is embracing an identity of same-sex attraction and or the word gay, homosexual, Christian as viable. And they even had workshops like Queer Treasure in Heaven, the idea that queer offering is good. That's their word. You know, it used to be a derogatory word. But now it's LGBTQ, and that Q is queer or queering, in the idea of questioning. And so that's actually even being added to Christianity. And so they have this idea, again, it comes from this psychological perspective. Mark Yarhouse with D.A. Carson editing this paper on Christian sexuality came up with the term called sexual minorities. And so they have embraced that they are a sexual minority group. And the first conference was held in a PCA church, Memorial Presbyterian Church of America, in St. Louis. And that pastor, the first interview of that year, Greg Johnson, said, you know, he didn't have a homosexual problem. But then this last May, he came out as a gay Christian, and then spoke at the very their convention and promoting the idea that, you know, he's pretty much, and how a lot of them promote themselves, as a victim in the church, struggling as a sexual minority. And so this is what we're up against, and that's kind of the philosophy and mindset of Revoice and this type of gay Christian movement within evangelical, that are supposed to be Bible-believing evangelicals. And their president, Nate Collins, came out of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary right under Albert Mohler. And so there is this philosophy that orientation rarely changes, if it does at all. And yet the T stands for transgender, that you can...
I've always thought that was contradictory.
Yeah, it is, because you cannot change your sex. Gender is not fluid. And yet they would say that orientation is fixed and gender is fluid. It's like upside down.
Stephen Black joining us today, National Religious Broadcasters 2020 in Nashville with First Stone Ministries. Well, Stephen, as we talk about this whole area of same-sex attraction, I know that there was a line of thinking that came out of the leadership or those affiliated with Revoice having to do with temptation. I believe it may have been Nate Collins talking about, well, Jesus was tempted in all things as we were. And so they take that and say, well, that means perhaps that Jesus was tempted in the area of sexuality as far as same-sex attraction. And so how do you, someone that has been involved in doing this type of pastoral counseling as well as research and helping people come out of homosexuality, how do you counter what these people are saying?
Well, it's a bad hermeneutics of the study of Christ, for one thing. No doubt, 1 John chapter 2 says that we wrestle with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Jesus was tempted in those points as the first Adam, but he was successful, and he raised up. When we see in Matthew 4 in the temptations, he was tempted in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. But to say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was tempted homosexually is a far stretch. I don't believe that. Was he tempted in his humanity as a man, in his sexuality? Most likely. But Jesus was completely submitted to the Father to find his identity as his son. And we see that all through the gospel, not that he struggled limping along as some kind of a victim. As these people are communicating, and you brought up Nate Collins, I mean, he's actually saying in the first message at Revoice that he's like the Jeremiahs, and they're like the Jeremiahs of God, you know, and that they're crying out and in context of being same-sex attracted in the church and bringing this into the church. So this is a big problem. And again, there's nuancing around this, and there's bad theology that's going along with this to propagate this idea of gay Christianity. And it's really bringing what is a little leaven. What does a little leaven do? It leavens the whole lump. It's serious. It's actually very serious. And a lot of people are giving a pass on this because what this does is it brings sexual uncleanness into the church.
All right. So I don't want to do a gotcha question, but this was retweeted earlier this week. Here's a quote. Just a friendly reminder that humanity was originally created uni-heterosexual. Mm. Every human being alive today has a non-creational sexual identity that reflects the effects of the fall.
Wow.
I don't know if you've seen that. But
no, I have not.
Uni-heterosexual.
Wow. That is, of course, it's a word construct that is, again, made up, like a lot of these things that are happening. Like, even we get from psychology, we get heterosexual and homosexual. 100 years ago, those words weren't even in play. It was just male and female. And this is the problem, is we've got to get back to Genesis. The Genesis of things, the beginning, is Imago Dei. In the image of God, he created them male and female. There is no nuances around this. We're either male or female. And what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to take the language and bring some kind of obscuring and some kind of what they would even consider very smart. You know, that we're really intelligent. We're the PhDs. We know what we're talking about. And you little people, you don't really know what this is like. And so it catches people off guard, because then they would say, you're not loving and you're not compassionate if you don't accept these people as sexual minorities.
And there's another one of those words, so, you know, kind of like, let's make up a term. Words have power. I think
That's
you
right.
and I had a conversation to that effect. Words have meaning. And so when you have made up words or terms like sexual minority, what does that even mean? And then you have those that would say, well, God's plan, God's area of perfection is not heterosexuality.
Right.
It's something else. And so I guess that's how you justify possessing and acting on and identifying with same-sex attraction, because if you admit that heterosexuality, as I believe, again, as you go back to Genesis, that's God's way,
yes,
his plan. But if you're not going to adhere to that, you got to make something up.
Yeah, when I was in the Exodus circles of ministry years ago, there was this little saying that was, the goal is not heterosexuality, it is holiness. And that's only part of the truth, because actually, if you're in holiness, and so I had to repent, I publicly put it out there, I repented of just leaving that statement that way. Because actually, if you're in holiness, the trajectory is for a soul, a man or a woman, to embrace God's divine intention, which is to fully embrace, even in your fallenness, to fully embrace God's divine intention, is one man, one woman in covenant marriage relating, and the holiness of being aligned in your identity and sexuality, which is innately, you know, biology, innately heterosexual. So not adding some other word constructs of homosexual or same-sex attracted as your identity, but to identify yourself in Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe.
Stephen Black joining us today from First Stone Ministries here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, National Religious Broadcasters 2020. Well, we've been talking about Revoice and really some deep issues with respect to sexuality and matters of homosexuality. Obviously, First Stone Ministries, the book Freedom Realized, the work that you've done, it shows that God's principles, the application of God's truth in areas of sexuality, is clear and powerful, and you have the research to prove it.
That's right. Yeah, we did in 2012, when Alan Chambers came out and said 99.9% of people don't change at the Gay Christian Network. It was shocking. It was shocking to a lot of the ministries, and it began the division that took place within months of that, and the Restored Hope Network was formed, and I was a part of that founding. Well, it got me thinking, and so what we did is we did the research of 25 years of client folders, and we were able to contact 500 people of the 1,200, and 185 of them filled out the survey, and the bottom line on that survey is 72% to 73% of the people that gave at least 1 year, many of them more than 1 year, of pastoral care, discipleship, and support group are the ones that found lasting freedom without labels. And that's why the subtitle of my book is Finding Freedom from Homosexuality, Free from Labels, Free from a Lifestyle of Labels. And these labels are are in a place where it can bring a diluting construct of, into the brain of thinking about the identity that keeps people stuck and in bondage. And the scripture is very clear. We're to find our identity in Christ. So we have the survey, and we also have hundreds of other people that have found lasting freedom.
Well, let's talk about the God's Voice Conference. It's in Oklahoma City. If people can make the trek there, there are a number of high quality speakers addressing issues related to what we're talking about today.
That's right. Last year, the tagline was a biblical response to the queering of the church, because it was mainly focused on the theology, the bad theology. This year, we've broadened it, because just in 1 year's time, there's been so much that has transpired. It's the biblical response now to the LGBTQ tyranny. Because there is so much censorship going on. There's such an attack against the church, the Word of God. There's these conversion therapies, the drag queen story hours, the bringing normalization of pedophilia into the public school systems. We have so much going on in this country. And, you know, California trying to pass laws and have passed some laws. You've got the federal government wanting to make this behavior equal to gender and race with what's called the Equality Act. So there's a lot going on. And so this year, we're going to be talking about all of those different things and the bad science behind transgenderism. We've got Dr. Quentin Van Meter, who's going to address the history of that. And it's so interesting when people find out how political it really is, because this transgender thing is hitting our culture in a storm, and Big Pharma is handing out all of these drugs to actually sterilize children prepubescent. And this is a crisis going on in our country, but it's also coming at the church. And so we really need to equip leaders, and that's what God's Voice is about this year, equipping pastors and leaders to do a better job at being courageous and taking a stand.
Would you agree that ministry to the homosexual, to the person who is trapped within the LGBT agenda, who is perhaps experiencing same-sex attraction, do you agree that the greatest form of ministry is to show that person how they can change, rather than to accommodate them and leave them in their sin?
Absolutely.
I know the, I mean, that answer I knew before I asked it.
It's love. I mean, you know, because the idea is, you know, love wins. We need to be
love
more loving.
Love.
Yeah, love is love.
Love is
you
love.
Know? And the reality is real love boldly tells the truth. And if you don't boldly tell the truth, then there's a potential that that soul will not enter into eternity, into eternal life. My Bible is very clear. You can know with certainty that no practicing sexually immoral person or idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. My go-to verse is not even the, you know, what they call the clobber verses. I go to Ephesians chapter 5, right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these practices, behavior, the wrath of God is on the children of disobedience. And the wrath of God is actually being turned over to this idea that you can be this and be actually sinful, and you know, you prayed the prayer, so you're going to heaven. That to me is unloving. And so one of the most loving things we can do is to give the hope of the gospel that brings transformation.
Stephen Black joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, and again, speaking the truth in love, that's what the Bible has to say. And there's so much with respect to this issue. I appreciate what you, your organization, First Stone Ministries, and like-minded organizations are doing to present the biblical viewpoint of sexuality and some of these different practices that are in our culture today and that are impacting, and I would even say infecting, the church.
Yeah.
How can people find you online?
Well, pretty easy. FirstStone.org is the ministry website, and StephenBlack.org.
And the God's Voice website.
It's real easy, too. godsvoice.us.
All right. This may be a little bit of a sensitive question here in light of what happened last year, but how about live streaming? of the conference.
We are planning on doing that. We got to navigate that. But, yes, we're still planning on doing that. Well, obviously, we're not using Vimeo.
Yeah, and for those that may not be aware, the God's Voice conference, you had set up streaming through Vimeo, and Vimeo decided they didn't like your content.
Yeah, and not only did they not like our content, they punished the church that we had it at. And so they ended up deleting the church's account of 5 years of sermons.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they just put the delete button.
Was it restored?
No. Mm. It's now, they had a backup. The church did.
Yeah, that's good.
But, you know, it took some work to do all that.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, pray for people all across America to be able to see this conference if they can't make it to Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir.
And what's the venue there?
It's Fairview Baptist Church in the Edmond area, which is a suburb of Oklahoma City in the north part of the town.
Excellent. Stephen, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.